807 FM Talk 1065 online at FMTalk1065.com. You can go to our website, also our Facebook page, and get more information on a couple things. Number one, the visitation for slain Mobile police officer Sean Tudor. I've got 5 to 8 tomorrow evening at Dolphin Way Baptist, and then you have 10 to 11 Friday morning before the funeral and procession, and also the procession list there is going to go down Dolphin to get on McGregor to Azalea, Azalea to 90 out to Three Notch, and along that route is where people will be, just like I imagine it was for Justin Billa's funeral procession, where people, Mobilians and others, were standing alongside the road and paying their respects to the family. So we'll talk more about that coming up. Also, Chief Petit's press conference yesterday laying out what happened on Sunday there at the Peach Place Inn. Also, I didn't know if y'all heard this. They're looking for volunteers for TSA workers to go to, like, places where they have more sick outs, like different airports. Kind of like, like, I got a friend, his wife does traveling nurse thing, where they, and by the way, they make big money doing that. TSA says, well, I'm sure they can't pay them right now, but they will provide food, lodging. They went down a list of things. Where's that money come from? Well, I'm going to try to figure that out. Well, we'll ask our buddy Jeff Poor with Lanyap, Breitbart, Yellowhammer News, and of course, host of, oddly enough, the Jeff Poor radio show on WVNN. Who else would host that thing? Hey, man.
Hey, thanks for having me on.
Hey, thanks for being on. The shutdown here, day whatever it is, I kind of lost count here. You've got more stories of, you know, the TSA sick outs and other places where people are really feeling the squeeze. You say there's some movement in the Senate. Talk to us about this. Is there a light at the end of the tunnel?
I don't know that it's necessarily light. It is some movement. That's something to, I think, give us some signs of optimism. That it's not just, well, we're at this impasse and we're not going to do anything and we're just going to go to our quarters and sit. So what's going to happen today? There's going to be two votes, one at the behest of Mitch McConnell and the other Chuck Schumer, what they want, what the Democrats want, and they're going to both get their vote. So we're going to put it to a vote of the members and see what comes out of it. I doubt either will pass because you got to get 60 votes, but they are at least doing some votes, having some votes, and that's how you get these things started, I suppose, is trying to get at least doing something and not just sitting in our corners.
Right, and there are a couple of different paths out of this, possibly, that you've described, and number one being this idea that you would have Republicans or Democrats break rank and work a deal, something that would, you know, work a deal outside of what President Trump has asked for, maybe outside of what the Democrat rhetoric is from Pelosi and Schumer. But also the one that you said the other day, and I've been talking to a bunch of people about this, I said, Jeff Poor says this is interesting, the only person I've heard describe this scenario. You said you think this ends with an emergency declaration or some serious event. But walk us through the emergency declaration one. I think this is interesting.
So the emergency declaration would be if Trump went on his own and said, I'm going to say this is a national emergency, that the crisis at the border is a national emergency, and under my authority as commander-in-chief, which is commander of the military, I'm going to instruct the Army Corps of Engineers, which is a apparatus in the Department of Defense, to construct a wall at the southern border where I need it. That way he bypasses Congress and getting the monetary financial authorization. And if he does that, it's almost certainly to trigger lawsuits and then a lot of court action. But if that happens, then Donald Trump is saying, well, I'm fulfilling my promise to build a wall. I'm not going to be George H.W. Bush and make this my no new taxes pledge. I'm actually trying. I just have people that are opposing the wall. And if he gets the wall off the table, off the negotiating table, then we don't have to, we're not having this discussion anymore. We're on to just get the government open. And it seems to me that's a much a lower threshold to overcome than the wall, question, because the wall right now is everything. But you take that away, then I think the government gets back open fairly soon.
Jeff, how much of a role do you think a lot of the incoming freshman congressmen and women, led by Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, how much do you think of a role they are playing in the Nancy Pelosi's and some of the upperclassmen in the Democrat House? How much of a role do you think those freshmen are playing in keeping them from even conceding anything to President Trump?
Maybe a little bit, maybe public relations-wise. I think Nancy Pelosi would be at this position with or without Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez and these younger members. I think that they are more a media sensation right now, and they have no power. They're essentially backbenchers. They may be more of a nuisance to Nancy Pelosi. And given that, then you don't – I think Nancy Pelosi's already pretty – strided in her views on the wall, and it always has been, even long before the this youth movement of so-called progressives and socialists came to power.
Yeah, I am interested in that, to see how, outside a couple different pockets, how much that brand of Democrat politics resonates. Because the fact that they're getting interviews and getting on TV, I want to remind folks, that is the nature of news, the odd thing out. I mean, the same thing has happened. You can think about what happened during the later portions of the Tea Party movement, when anybody who said they were Republican would run in different offices. You would get the audio, you would get the interview with the person who's going to say the most outlandish thing. And while that's true for the Republicans back then, or those Tea Party folks, it's true now with Democrats. If I'm news director, Jeff, I'm going to put Cortez on, because she's going to say something wacky that's going to give me a clip to get shared and go viral.
Well, it's a little different for the Democrats. I don't think there's... We can argue about this, but I do think that the media is sort of in the tank for the Democratic Party. What I think is, though, it's a little different, whereas you would have a Louie Goldman or Matt Gaetz or whoever be the Republican person on TV all the time saying something crazy. Democrats want to have a face of youth. This was their biggest knock.
Oh, like Pelosi, yeah.
Couple of decades. Yeah, it was all old people, old faces. It was no fresh blood. If they could get her just to be the face of it, say her crazy stuff, but when people look at it, we're such a superficial society, when they just look at the TV and she looks younger and she looks like me, and that, or she looks like a Democratic voter, then that's the branding they want. They may not agree with the crazy, free college education or universal health care and all that stuff, but they do like that brand, and I think that helps get her on TV a lot.
All right. Can you hold on over the break?
Absolutely.
All right. Coming right back, more with Jeff, because I want to talk about the what we talked about on Monday on the Midday Show, the BuzzFeed bombshell dud, and also the Covington Catholic story that we talked about at length here on the show. I think this is... obviously, it's gotten legs now. It's gotten traction. We started talking about it earlier in the week. But what does it say about a bigger story? I mean, with deference to those kids, it shows a narrative. It shows prejudice. It shows prejudice by many out there and how they see stories.
Wind blowing outside. I just saw someone chase their hat about 20 feet after it blew off their head.
Oh, we got some entertainment outside our glass-fronted studio. Cool stuff. We'll be right back. Right, 820 FM Talk 106.5 and Mobile Mornings. Glad to have you along on this Wednesday. More information weather-wise from Dr. Bill coming up at around 8:33, as we have rain moving into our area. Already had some showers through this morning and those gusty winds. More from Doc coming up. Continue our conversation with our buddy and my friend Jeff Poor from Lanyap, Breitbart, Yellowhammer News, and host of the Jeff Poor Radio Show on WVNN in Huntsville, where I want to get to before we wrap up. I want to talk about your guest. You had Roy Moore on the show, right?
Yeah, we had him on yesterday. Talking a little bit about, well, a couple interesting sound bites from it. He's not, he talked about why he waited until after the election to do the polygraph, which was because he got caught up in the heat of the moment of the campaign, I just didn't know anything about it. And then that's when, after the election, they decided to do that, because they were going to pursue legal action against some of these women who put these accusations out there. And then we talked about his 2020 ambitions. He leaves that on the table. He wouldn't say one way or another, but he didn't rule it out. So keep an eye on that. And we kind of talked about life since the campaign, but he just seems like he's still Roy Moore. He hasn't really changed that much.
All right. It'll be interesting to see how crowded the field is for the Republican primary for Senate for 2020. I'm sure we'll be talking about that a bunch going forward. Let's take it back to a national story here, and something you and I talked about on Monday. The BuzzFeed bombshell that came out last week ended up as a dud.
Yeah, so that was Friday night. Friday morning we were talking about impeachment, and we were, you know, if true, this is impeachable. And it kind of dominated the day. I think a lot of people looked at it, and at least like in the circles I run in, the Breitbart circles, we kind of thought something was up. And the point I would say was, why is it showing up on BuzzFeed? Why not the New York Times? Why not the Washington Post or CNN or a bigger news outlet? Why did it get leaked out to BuzzFeed? And whenever you see that, that's the red flag. So throughout the day, we were kind of wondering, like, are they seriously running with this BuzzFeed story? Why haven't any other outlets corroborated this? And then Friday night comes the big bombshell with the Mueller response to it. And as expected, everybody sort of couches their terms and retreats a little bit from the situation.
All right. So that's one of those big stories. And then the Covington Catholic story, talking about something else, this one taken out of context. And I'll say this, as I kind of looked through, and there were a couple stories yesterday where they lined up the people that had tweeted about this over the weekend that then retracted their tweets, and then there are people that just deleted their tweets. I have to say, even people I disagree with politically that came out and said, hey, I was wrong, I'm sorry, and they put that post on Twitter. I have a little more respect for them than the people who just deleted it and pretended like it didn't happen. Kind of walk us through the fallout on this. We lose Jeff? I heard something happening with the connection. So.
Yeah, I was wondering what was going on with that.
All right. And what we're getting to is the story we talked about Monday and yesterday and talked about in depth on the midday show, and that is the Covington Catholic School. And we did the work of going back and watching the full video. It's like an hour and 10 minutes or so about what was going on as those kids were waiting to get on the bus there to head back to Kentucky. And you have a situation here where if you take, like, words can be taken out of context and video can be taken out of context. Mm-hmm. And in this case, it was video. And if you don't see the backstory, you don't understand it. All right, Jeff, you're back. We lost you for a second there.
Sorry about that. I'm not sure what happened.
We're talking about the fallout from the Covington Catholic story. Give us your take.
So what I think is going on there, now it's we have a face. We have a victim of this kind of crazy media culture, right? So BuzzFeed happens, and that just kind of deteriorates a lot of the trust anybody who's really, really focused on these things like you and I are. Now we have these high school students that are a victim of this culture where we're jumping to conclusions and we're not really dotting our I's across our T's like you used to in journalism, right?
Right.
So what I think happens is Donald Trump likes to run against the media. I mean, this all ties back to politics. Donald Trump likes to talk about fake news. I mean, that was a whole term he sort of took away from everybody else and made it his, and he could run against the media. Now you have a face of a victim of that. It's a young high school kid. And I think this goes to the Brett Kavanaugh whole episode where people, they see that, they don't want that to happen anymore. They don't want that to happen to their children. And I think this just helps them politically, whether the media, you know, we can talk about the role they play and all of that, whether that's as big as we think it is. I think it's substantial. Then, like, when this happens, Donald Trump has something he can run on that will help his poll numbers, and just the way Washington, D.C. works. They do nothing but, a lot of these people have jobs where they do nothing but look at polling. And I think that sort of takes away from the whole shutdown picture, the wall, a lot of things that mm-hmm. Donald Trump is trying to accomplish. I think it kind of helps him on the margins, at least.
Yeah, and a good pragmatic play right now in the news cycle, but at the idealistic level, I don't know if you saw David Brooks' editorial in New York Times. To me, I think maybe this brings up the bigger conversation I've tried to have for a long time, and it may be different than a lot of folks. I try to make sure that we're discussing issues and not people, right? It seems like the new discussion, or I say new, it's been going on for decades, but is to demonize people and not the issue, and that seems to work in Washington, so they keep it up.
Well, that's what you've got to do. You've got to pick that target and isolate it. Right now, it's anybody with a "Make America Great Again" hat or a, you know, we're really a. And I said this in the last segment. We're kind of a superficial society. We need a face. We need an image, and you can't really do that with an issue. I mean, sure, there's symbols for issues, abortion, or you know, same-sex marriage, or whatever your social issue of the day is. But when you have a human face to tie to that, and it can be, you know, whatever emotion you want to pull out of it, that's the politics of it. And I think that's where it is. And when they try to demonize something, but they unfairly demonize it, it comes back and bites them, and it works in the other direction.
I know the initial video that was posted on Twitter of the Covington Catholic boys standing there, the first person to post that, I believe, was someone from Brazil acting like they were a high school teacher in California. And since then, Twitter has suspended that account. But for the national news organizations and like BuzzFeed with this report that was completely called out by the Mueller team, what kind of penalty is there, penalty out there for any of these organizations, or what kind of incentive should there be, or is there already, for organizations to not get stories so wrong?
Well, I think that what I would say is, and I wouldn't be surprised if we didn't see this in the near future, is since the bar is so low for what you could call a public figure, the way they went after these children, I wouldn't be surprised if there wasn't a lawsuit filed against some of these media outlets that ran with this story early on, a defamation suit, because these weren't public individuals, but they turned them into public individuals, and they got the story wrong. They got it completely wrong. And if I'm one of these Covington Catholic high school children's parents, I got to be looking at it, consider that as an option. Once you get the legal aspect back into the equation, once you start putting, you know, well, you could lose your business, you could wind up like Gawker or any of these sites that have lost, you know, they've gone out of business out of a some sort of libel or lawsuit, then I think that kind of gets people to be a little more cautious, and that's probably where we need to be. I mean, I don't like that avenue. I think it's unfortunate, but it's part of our it's part of our legal, you know, it's part of our legal system for a reason, to keep these stories from being these out-of-control stories that aren't true, and get these media outlets to run with them and really doing some damage to people or reputations, or, you know, was the case with the president, is the politics of it. You got to kind of throttle that back and pump the brakes.
All right, and a field that will be even more crowded than the Republican primary for the 2020 Senate seat will be that for Democrats running for president in 2020. Talk to me about this.
Yeah, so we had another announcement earlier this week. We had Kamala Harris, who she's the junior senator from the state of California. They're trying to make her out to be the moderate of the group. I don't know that I necessarily buy that, but that's the brand they seem to be going with. That's sort of the image, because the other people in this field are all running to the left. So you got Elizabeth Warren, you got Julian Castro, you have Kirsten Gillibrand. You have candidates that we think of as left, like far left, progressive, you know, into a lot of social entitlement programs. They're trying to make Kamala Harris the more moderate. And I think they're trying to make her into Barack Obama, except the female version of it, I feel like. Where we know, if you remember, it was all just about pragmatism and hope and change and these mm-hmm. things, and it wasn't necessarily ideology. If you're asking me where I'm going with that, now that she's going to be that candidate, she's going to be the quote-unquote change candidate, and she's going to try to be the contrast to Donald Trump. And whereas all the other, everyone else in this field is going to run on they're running for the base vote, which the base is what traditionally participates in Democratic primaries. They're trying to make they're trying to give her the distinction. So I think this is one to watch. What I would say to your listeners is, watch this bridge crossing jubilee in about a month in Selma, and look at all the candidates that show up. And even if they're not announced candidates, they show up to come do the Selma bridge crossing. If they're high profile politicians, they're eyeing a run for president in 2020.
There you go. There's some insight and a tell, and we'll talk to you more about this going forward. Remind folks that want to interact with you about radio or print, where do they go?
It's twitter.com/Jeff_Poor.
There he is. Our buddy Jeff Poor chiming in, and we're coming right back. We'll grab your calls at 343-0106, 343-0106. Latest on your forecast coming up with Dr. Bill as well.
It's 8:36 on FM Talk 106.5. This is Mobile Mornings. And right now we head over to McConnell Automotive, where we talk to Mitch McConnell. Hey, Mitch.
Hey, Dalton. Good morning.
Let's talk a little bit about the Sierras, the great deals you have at McConnell, and specifically that AT4 model. That looks hot.
Man, it is so cool. And, you know, everybody listening, we have 18 models that we're giving these crazy discounts on, and they're kind of whittling down, Dalton. So I want everybody to rush to that. But the truck everybody's talking about is the AT4. They're really hard to get. And what it is, Dalton, is kind of a bad boy version of a GMC that never was made before. So it's lifted by 3 inches from the factory, got the bad boy wheels, red tow hooks on the front. I think it kind of raises your testosterone level just to look at one, much less drive it. So, you know, if you think about something like a Ford Raptor, you know, the bad boy Z71s of the past, this thing blows all that out of the water, in my opinion. So I want everybody to come and check it out and drive it. And I promise you, if anybody likes to go in the woods or just look cool, there is not a better looking truck that's more functional on the road than the GMC Sierra AT4 at McConnell.
Yeah, it sure looks great. And if you want to get a look at it, McConnellAutomotive.com, a great place to check it out. We appreciate it, Mitch. Have a good one.
Y'all have a great day. Stay dry.
All right. That's Mitch McConnell. Go see him at McConnell Automotive on Dolphin Street, just east of I-65.
All right, 8:38. Heads up here, if you didn't hear it yesterday, funeral service for fallen Mobile police officer Sean Tudor, who was killed in the line of duty on Sunday. It's going to be tomorrow visitation from 5 to 8, and then Friday morning is going to begin at 9. So and then the funeral service at 11. They also posted the funeral procession, how it will go, and this would be important, of course, if you wanted to be out there to show your support for the family at this time. Funeral procession is going to go out of Dolphin Way Baptist Church, going to go down Dolphin Street, get to McGregor, go south of McGregor to Azalea. McGregor becomes Azalea. Take Azalea south to Government and then turn west onto Government, traveling to Three Notch. So to Mobile Memorial Gardens at the cemetery. So think about that route. We talked about it a couple times this morning. There's some areas to be standing there, some big parking lots, areas where you can go. And I'm sure within reason, business owners wouldn't mind if you're there to show your support for this family.
Yeah, no. Last year, it's been less than a year, unfortunately, since Officer Billa,
yeah,
his
11
funeral.
Months.
And I know they took kind of the same route. At least they went down Government for part of that. And there were, if you remember, images or video from that funeral procession, cars just lining the roads and sitting in some of those parking lots. And it was a beautiful send-off for Officer Billa. But if you kind of scout out the area before the procession on Friday, you should be able to find some good places to park.
All right. We'll take some calls on that as well. And you said during the news break there, I asked that question earlier, you know, TSA was looking for volunteers to go travel to, I guess, airports that needed more help than others, they're not getting paid right now. That's why you have the sick outs. But then it said, but they would be covered for food and lodging and all these things. I said, where are they getting that money from? That's why Dalton's here. He's answering that question.
Yeah, so they sent out the email to some of these TSA officers, and in that email, they described that they would use government-issued credit cards for the meals, hotels, everything else. But those credit card payments actually would not have to be made until the government reopens. Now, I don't know if that means...
Wait a second. Is that a deal? How can we get that deal?
I mean,
usually by the next month is when it shows up on your statement.
Yeah, I don't know, but the credit cards from the government is what they're planning on using, and agency currently working to reduce the need to close security checkpoints and lanes, but more could close as the shutdown continues. And with the Super Bowl coming up in Atlanta, of course, there's issues in airports all over the country, but people are worried specifically about Atlanta and people needing to fly in and out of that airport and how crazy it get with so many people flying in for the game.
You know, what was the old Visa commercial? Everywhere you want to be?
Mm-hmm.
Be like, hey, you had to head to Poughkeepsie on Tuesday to work with no pay to screen people to get on airplanes. Visa, it's everywhere you want to be, or something like that. All right, to the phones at 343-0106, 343-0106. And Robert in beautiful Orange Beach is up first. Hey, man.
Yes, sir. Can you hear me?
I got you.
All right. These people on the different, I call them the communist networks, and these so-called journalism people, they're not really journalism. They're just commentators. They hate Donald Trump so bad that it's like when two people get a divorce, and it's one of these horrible divorces, and they put stuff online about their ex-spouses who happens to be the parent of their children. These people are out of control, and they all need some kind of psychological counseling. I couldn't stand Barack Obama, but I never ranted and raved and screamed and hollered to anybody, including my close friends, about what I deeply thought about what he was doing to our country, because I knew they had an election coming up, or he didn't, you know, be out by term limits. Something's wrong with these people. All of them, Don Lemon, the whole pack of idiots. They can't control themselves. What are they doing on television if they can't control themselves?
Well, Robert, I mean, just like we end up with candidates that I'll say are elected officials, I say, it's their fault. I say, no, it's the people's fault. It's we the people that voted them in, the same way with media, because this, and I appreciate your call, this demagoguing that goes on is... it works.
Mm-hmm.
It works. I mean, more people will want to run to a MSNBC or a Fox News and have their views reinforced versus listening to something else to make their own decision or challenge their own decisions. That is what works. That's, look what we do. They find somebody like me that has, you know, conservative opinions and put me on the radio because I resemble a lot of folks. I get it. At the same time, I try to keep it in the lanes of policy. And I, of course, I'm, you know, a small voice here. But the danger is you get in the world of cult of personalities and just impugning one side, this person or that person, and you lose track of the issues. And the issues are what make a difference in our lives. That person, that individual, that you lump all those bad things into, that scapegoating of that person, whether it be these high school kids from Covington Catholic, or, you know, whatever liberal person you want to, like a Pelosi or somebody like that, they are just a vessel for those ideas. In the case of a Pelosi or something, you have somebody who can actually do something in Washington, so I think they are not beyond scorn. But when you just said, this side, they must be bad people because I disagree with them on the issues. I don't change my stance on the issues, but I think it's a race to the bottom when you just spend all the time just hating on the person.
And I think a big reason that journalism has had so many misses on stories over the last few years, I think we're in a retweet society now.
Yes.
And a lot of these people that want to be held to the highest standard of journalism and who for years have railed on people who come into the fold spouting fake news and fake news stories,
mm-hmm.
In a way, even if they wouldn't like to, they've joined. If you can't beat them, join them, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And they see these BuzzFeed sprouting out and sprouting up and some of these other organizations that weren't big names years ago, and they run on some of these stories, some of which end up being true, some of which end up being completely, completely false, but they grow, and they're getting all the views online, and they're getting
yep.
a lot of the love from the citizens who are looking at the news. So a lot of these major news organizations, they see that they're losing the likes and
sure.
the retweets, and they jump on the stories as quick as they can.
Because they're in the business of making money.
Right.
That's what they're supposed to do.
And when you jump on a story as quickly as you can so you can be right in line behind BuzzFeed, then you end up being part of the problem and not part of the solution.
All right, and a reminder, too, to say that nobody will ever make a mistake, that's not fair either. And that's why I pointed out, and we can go through some of the stories out there, but those that jumped to conclusions over the weekend with the small video there and made their conclusion about these, the one in particular, Sandman, and the other Covington High School students, the ones that went back on and retracted and said I was wrong, even if I politically disagree with him, I have respect for him. The ones that, and some pretty big name celebrities did it, and others, well, they just deleted the tweets and acted like it didn't happen. Mm-hmm. That's cowardice, in my opinion. All right, let's we'll grab a couple calls here.
Well, yeah, and one of those, I think it was The Atlantic, a woman wrote an article, a journalist for The Atlantic, and she was one of those who came out immediately going after the Covington Catholic kids, and she came back and wrote an entire article saying, you know, I was part of the problem. I jumped on this too quick, and after I spoke with my son, and then after I saw the whole story, I realized that I was out of line reporting like I did. She wrote an entire article saying I was wrong, and I'm going to try not to do that again.
Good. The problem is, in our society, that story probably gets, 17 clicks, and the one that impugns those kids gets 17 million.
For sure.
And by the way, too, if you haven't had a chance, and maybe we'll go through this at length during the midday show, David Brooks' op-ed from Monday about this, how we destroy lives today, his New York Times piece, I thought was well written. I'll link this up on the Twitter feed. Hopefully you can check it out. All right, go to David in Mobile next.
Hey, Sean, free press isn't free, and I think it's time that we revisit the Falwell decision that defined who is a public figure and who isn't a public figure.
Mm-hmm.
But also, because of several issues that have developed because of the internet and social media, I think we need to also go and redefine what type of journalistic organization is offered the immunity from slander and libel lawsuits, and what kinds aren't, especially what kind of editorial structure they have in place to prevent the kind of BuzzFeed stories that end up being so wrong and so off base that it,
But there's a mechanism. I mean, you look at the Gawker story there, even though it's not immediate, there is a mechanism there. You have a lawsuit and Gawker is no more.
Yes, but the bar is set so high by the Supreme Court about these issues that it's going to take another revisit by the Supreme Court to hash out these issues, because you have doxing now that you didn't have when the Falwell decision was decided, that can literally put people's lives in risk.
So what case gets there? You got to have a case, right? You got to have a case that gets the whole way through and makes it to the Supreme Court. Is that the Covington Catholic School case, or is it some case to come?
It may be the Covington Catholic School case that makes it, or maybe some case to come. But real quickly, before you let me go, with the if the funeral procession on Friday is anything like Officer Bullis' funeral procession, over under, how far backed up do you think the traffic on airport gets?
It won't. Other than crossing airport, that may where it crosses airport, that may have an effect there where McGregor turns into Azalea. But other than that, I imagine there will be a lot of traffic. If you remember Officer Bullis' funeral procession, there were people getting into line at the church as there were people arriving at the graveside. I imagine we're going to see something like that on Friday. Talk more about that when we come back. 343-0106. All right. Thank you, Kane. FM Talk 106.5 in Mobile Mornings. Phone number 343-0106. Probably ought to keep that in your contacts list as well. Just put radio station, FM Talk 106.5, Mobile Mornings, Midday Mobile, whatever show you did, whatever it is. The phone number, text line, 343-0106. All right. Holiday season is in our rearview mirror. Brand new year. And what arrives here in January? Oh, yeah, the credit card bills from the spending during the holidays. Been thinking about the credit cards you used over the holidays. Make this your New Year's resolution. That's saving money every month when you lower your interest rate and save with a credit card consolidation loan from LightStream. Get a rate as low as 6.14% APR with autopay and save thousands in interest. The rate's fixed, so as rates continue to rise, your low rate won't budge. You can get a loan from $5,000 to $100,000, and you can even get your money as soon as the day you apply. Application 100% online, and there are no fees. LightStream believes that people with good credit like you deserve a low rate and an easy process, and y'all can save even more with an additional interest rate discount. The only way to get this discount is to go to lightstream.com/Sullivan. Website, lightstream.com/Sullivan. Subject to credit approval, rate includes a 0.50% auto pay discount. Terms and conditions apply, and offers are subject to change without notice. Visit lightstream.com/Sullivan for more information. All right, I want to read this text here, and then Dalton is my witness with no prior discussion, although it wouldn't matter. I mean, what we do is both tell the truth. You look through a dozen texts coming through here. Let me, in the last little news break. And I'm going to go to Max. because that is my nature. And by the way, I'm proud of Mike Gallagher show too, that comes on after us, because he has that same kind of, if you disagree, you seem to move to the head of the line. And I think that makes things more interesting. And not that I don't want to hear from people that agree, but the disagreement is part of this as well. Mac says, listening to your station again. So I guess Mac was mad at me for something in the past. He said, I've texted you in the past and said, you'll never understand people of color's feelings when we see a MAGA hat. And for a person like yourself, attempting to justify it every day is sad. Now, do I justify it every day? I don't know. But I would argue that assuming what somebody means by a hat, these kids, is, I think, a bad path to go down. If you have a certain policy that those kids were espousing and you disagree with it, then you discuss the policy or the thing and you could disagree. But just saying that a hat or whatever is somehow itself, with some deference to some things that would be, you know, beyond the pale, I agree there. But a Make America Great Again hat. Listen, you can pick the fight with, oh, what does that mean? Back when, do you know what they think it means? That's saying you know what's in somebody's heart. And I would urge you to talk to somebody about that and see what that means to them before you make that decision. And Mac, I appreciate your text, but that I go on here every day and attempt to justify it. I attempt to pass along what I see as truth. Now, you may disagree with me, Mac, but I'm trying to give you my version of the truth, and you're always welcome to call and talk about that.
Yeah, me personally, you know, if I had a kid that was going to the hotbed, you know, Washington, D.C., where all these rallies are kind of going on together, and the place where this video took place is notorious for having protesters outside, I personally probably wouldn't appreciate it if my kid wore the hat, just because I would be worried about, you know, something like this happening. But that's their right. I mean, we're talking about a hat. And the reason that the kids were standing there was for a bus to take them back to their high school in Kentucky after they toured around and saw the sights there in Washington, D.C. And the vile things that were being shouted at them because of the hats they were wearing, it was, there's no reason for that. Now, someone can go up and say, you know, I disagree with you wearing that hat, and I think it stands for this, but they were being called some of the worst names I've heard, and it just, it doesn't...
Just gotta watch the whole video. Watch the whole video, and then make your decision. It still may not be mine, but you gotta make sure you watch the whole video. We'll talk about this more coming up on the Midday Show, and today in Washington.
Yeah, so Friday, that'll be the second paycheck missed for federal workers if they don't figure out this shutdown before then. Now, both sides of the Senate, Republicans and Democrats, have introduced bills. Well, the House, the Democrat House has produced a bill, and they're trying to end this government shutdown. Now, the Republicans one has already basically been called dead on arrival because the Senate Democrats said that they will not vote that through. But the Democrat one, it basically opens the government without any funding for the wall. They said that we could revisit that later. It'll be interesting to see if any of the Republicans side with them.
All right, so two bills out there, and they're dueling.
Yeah, dueling
in
bills.
Washington, so this is how we'll leave you.
They'll vote on that Thursday.
All right. Well, that's how we'll leave you on a Wednesday morning. Mike Gallagher Show on the way next. We'll see you at noon today for Midday Mobile.